We are up to the next chapter, which is Perek Gimel. And the unit of the next chapter, which is the crossing of the Yarden, the unit chapter 3 and 4, it really covers two chapters, 3 and 4. It's one story. Not quite sure. I understand a little bit of why it's divided into two chapters, but nonetheless. So we're gonna do a piece at a time, but sometimes it's important to get the whole picture. So we'll read it through as much as we can, time permitting, and then we'll kind of analyze as in more in depth. Ve'yashkem Yeshu baboker ve'yisu me'ashitim ve'yivo ad ha'yarden hu v'chol bnei Yisrael ve'alinu sham terem ya'avodu. So if you remember, God had said to them, move the camp towards the Yarden. It took them 3 days to go to get to the edge of the Yarden from Zion Adar until the 10th of Zion Nisan until the 10th of Nisan. That was the story of the spies. At the same time, the spies came back, and now Vahimikse Shloshit Yamim, 3 days hence, Vayavu Hashotrim Mikerav HaMachaneh, and now they're instructing the people in terms of what's required for crossing over the Jordan River. They instructed the people as follows. Kinotchem et Aaron brit Hashem elokechem, ve'akohanim halevi'im nosim oto. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, the Ark with the tablets, and the Kohanim, who are called Kohanim halevi'im, they're called the Kohanim, that's a phrase from Sefer Dvarim, but essentially the Kohanim, nos imoto, carrying it. V'atem tis'um mimkomochem balachtam acharav. That's your sign to get up and start to travel, to follow it. However, keep your distance. Achrachok yeh b'nechem u'b'nav, kalpayim amah b'midah. Keep your distance between you and the Ark, approximately 2,000 cubits, which more or less is the more or less the size of the camp of Israel. You have to sort of keep a very significant difference between you and the Ark. Al tikrevu elav, leman asher tidu et haderech asher telchu ba, ki lo avartem baderech mitmol shilshom. So that you'll know which way to go. If the Ark is just in front of the front rank of people as they're traveling, and your camp is 2 miles long, then people in the back aren't going to be able to see the Ark. But if the Ark travels far enough in front so that the people in the back can see, and remember that where the Ark went, so did the cloud, the Ananea Kavod, and so if it's far enough back, in front, then the people in the back can still see it, and that's how the Ark would guide where they would go. That's part one. Part two, Vayomer Yehoshua Alam. Before it was the Shotrim who spoke to the people, now it's Yehoshua. And he says to them, Hitgadashu, sanctify yourself, prepare yourselves. Ki macha yaseh Hashem bekibachem niflaot. Tomorrow God will do wonders. Vayomer Yehoshua al Kohanim lemor. Then he turned to the Kohanim. So it's a bunch of instructions. The Shotrim to the people, Yehoshua to the people, then Yehoshua to the Kohanim. Lots of instructions. Se'u et Aron HaBrit ve'ivu lifnei ha'am. Now we're moving. It's about to happen. Take the Ark, pass before the people. Ve'yisu et Aron HaBrit ve'yichu lifnei ha'am. So they did. Right? Tell them what they're going to do. Tell us that they did it, and tell us what they did. Right? So sort of the paraphrase. Ve'yisu et Aron HaBrit ve'yichu lifnei ha'am. Yomer Hashem al Yehoshua. Now God speaks to Yehoshua. Lots of dialogue. Hayom hazeh achel gadelcha be'enei kol Yisrael. This day I will magnify you before the eyes of all of Israel. Asher yedu'uni ki asher hayiti im Moshe eyeh imach. So that all will know that as I was with Moshe, I am now, I will be with you. Ve'ata titzaveta kohanim noseh et abrit, aron abrit lemor. It's an additional instruction God gives to Yeshua to instruct the Kohanim. Kivoachem at ktze meha yarden, bayarden ta'amodu. When you get to the edge of the Yarden, stop. But Yomar Yehoshua b'nei Yisrael, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Yarden, in the Yarden you will stand, you will stop. Yomar Yehoshua b'nei Yisrael, goshu heina v'shimu et divrei Hashem Elokecha. Approach, come, I will tell you what God said. Yomar Yehoshua, b'zot tedun ki el chai bekirbechem, with this you will know that the living God is amongst you. He will drive out all the nations of Canaan before you. Behold, the Ark of Covenant, Master of the Earth. It's going in front of you into the Yarden. Take 12 men, a leader, one from each tribe. The moment that the soles of the feet of the Kohanim were carrying the ark touched the waters of the Yarden, mehayarden yikaretu, the waters of the earth, of the Jordan will be cut off. Hamayim ordim milamalo, all the waters that are coming down from above, yandu nedachad, they will stand up like one wall, like one heap. Ibn Saha Amilalem Lavorat Yarden, and that's how it came to pass. As the people of Kohanim, the people traveled from the tents to the Yarden, the Kohanim carrying the Aron went before the people. The moment the feet of the Kohanim touched the water, and the Yarden was overflowing its banks all through the harvest, all the water that came from above, from the Kinneret flows down towards the Yam HaMelech, all the water in the Yarden stood in one heap, one wall, harchek me'od me'adam ha'ir shemitzad sartan, far away, all the way up at Adam ha'ir. V'ha'yordim al ha'yam ha'arava Yam HaMelech tamu nichratu, and the waters that were going down to the Yam HaMelech, they got cut off. V'am avru neged Yericho, and the people could cross the dry land opposite Yericho. The priests that wore the ark stood on the firm ground inside the Yarden. And then they were standing on dry land, on dry ground, until the entire nation passed over the Yarden. This is what we refer to as, in Hebrew, Chatzayat Yarden, in English, the splitting of the Yarden, which isn't really splitting because they didn't split the Yarden, rather he dammed up the Yarden at one side and let the waters flow. One of the major differences between the story of Kriyat Yam Suf and the Yarden was that the Yam Suf split in apart, and Hamayim Lehem Chomam Miminam Mismolam, the waters were like a wall on either side, whereas here they walked in between. And they walked in between, whereas here, Ned Echad, it was one heap, one pillar of water, and then it didn't continue to flow. Why that's the case, we'll talk about as we progress through this story. That's part one. So the water is split, or the water is dried up, and they crossed over. I want to get through the story so that we have all of this, because there's pieces that we need that are, for our discussion, that are scattered throughout the text, so I want to just run through the rest of the story as well. So we're going to jump into Perek Dalet. When all of Israel passed over the Yarden, remember those 12 men that they had pre-designated? Take 12 stones from the Jordan River, take them from the place where the Kohanim stood. And there, You'll take them temporarily to the place where you're going to be lodging this night, and then from there you will take them and they will have a home. We will learn what that home is a little bit later. The rest of this has to do with the stones. We'll deal with the stones, Bezrat Hashem, in 2 weeks' time. Let me just jump to the end of the story. Pasuk Yud. והכהנים נושא הארון עומדים בתוך הידן, עד תום כל הדבר שצווה השם את יהושע לדבר על העם ככל שציווה משה את יהושע, וימהרו העם ויבואו. The Kohanim were still in the waters. The Kohanim and the Ark stood in the water in order to prevent the waters from returning as all of Israel crossed over. ויקשתם כל העם לעבור. The moment the people all crossed to the other side, ויבוא ארון השם הכהנים בפני העם, the ark and the priests passed before the people, and ויעברו בני ראובן ובני גד וחצי שבט המנשה חמושים לפני בני ישראל. Reuven, Gad, half of Manasseh that were going to be on the other side of the Yarden, they went chamushim, armed, before Bnei Yisrael as the front line, as the forward soldiers, forward lines, chamushim, armed, kashir diber lehem Moshe. There were about 40,000 karvim, elef chalutze hatzava, 40,000 armed, ready for war, avu lifnei Hashem l'machama el arvot Yericho. ויאמרו גידל השם את יהושע בעיני כל ישראל, ויראו אותו כאשר יראו משה את משה כל ימי חייו. That day, Yeshua's status in the eyes of the people expanded, grew to the point where they feared him as they feared Moshe. And there's instructions back to the Kohanim to return back to the dry land. I'm going to skip that for now. And just the last couple of psukim, we'll reread this all next class. I just want to get to the last couple of sentences because they're relevant to our discussion today. V'odatem et b'nechem lemor, b'yabasha avay Yisrael at ha-Yarden hazeh. You will tell your children that Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land. Asher hovish Hashem elokechem et meh ha-Yarden mipnechem ad ovrechem. God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you so that you could pass over. The parallel to Yam Suf is not an accident, it's intentional, just as God did to the Yam Suf. So the peoples of the earth will know the hand of God, that it is mighty, and that you may fear God forever. Okay. I tried to gloss over the whole story of the stones, because that's a separate piece, which we'll talk about, and just deal with the story of the crossing of the Yarden. So let's go back to chapter 3 for a moment. There's a lot to unpack here, and we're not going to get to all of it. We're going to take specific pieces that I want to try to address. But the first is, and for us, the important piece at the beginning, is the role of the Ark. There's a lot of emphasis on the role of the Ark. From the very first command, Yeshua says to the Shotrim, the Shotrim tell the people, when you see the Kohanim carrying the ark, you will know it's time to go and you will follow them, but keep your distance from the ark. Yeshua tells the people, prepare yourselves for 3 days. When you see the ark, know that that's the moving. You know that's the time to move. The ark began to move, and they followed. It's a lot of emphasis on the fact that the ark went before the people, and that the ark was carried by the Kohanim. And that's somewhat of a mystery. Why? Because it identifies essentially two anomalies. There are two things out of the ordinary with regards to this ark as it carries through, as it is carried by the Kohanim before the people. The first has to do with its location. Where did the ark typically travel? The ark is a movable object. They carried it through the desert for 40 years. When they carried it through the desert, where did they typically carry the ark? And the answer to that question is, I would have to reread all sections of Sefer Shmot and Bamidbar, but more or less, when the camp of Israel traveled, they always traveled in formation. They always traveled in the structure of the Dgalim, the banners that were set out in the beginning of the book of Bamidbar. And so you had groups of tribes. You have the Degel of Yehuda, you have the Degel of Reuven, you have the Degel of Ephraim, you have the Degel of Dan, you have the banners of the four main groups, and each banner contained three tribes, right, like a box. That's how they camped. And when they traveled in formation, meaning the Degel of Yehuda went first, and the banner of Reuven went second, and then the Ark, and the Mishkan, and the Kelim went in the middle. Then you had the camp of Ephraim, and then you had the camp of Dan. And that was the structure, that was the sequence by which they traveled for 40 years. There's several anomalies in this story. The first is that the ark is not in the middle of the camp. The ark has been moved to the front of the camp. There's another anomaly, and that is, let's see if I can find it. Where that reference is. At the end of chapter 4, Yavu b'nei Vayikra shetam kolam lavo v'yavo Aron Hashem v'konim lifnei ha'am, the ark went before the people. V'yavru b'nei Reuven u'b'nei Gad v'chatzi shevet ha'menashe ki'arba'im elef chalutzei tzava, the tribe of Reuven went next. And then the rest of the people went behind, which is also somewhat of an anomaly, that Reuven would go first. The Degel of Reuven was, in fact, throughout the 40 years in the desert, the banner that went second. The banner of Yehuda went first, Reuven went second. And yet, here, Reuven goes in front of the camp and not behind. They are referred to as the Chalutzei Tzava, the ready-for-armed, or the Chalutzim, the front lines. You see it again in the story of Yericho, which we'll get to in a couple of weeks, but just to give you a quick glance at it, when they surround Yericho in a very similar fashion, the Kohanim carrying the ark and blowing the shofar, surrounding the Kohanim, the ark was walking in the front of the people, and the Kohanim were carrying it, and the Kohanim were blowing the shofar, and they did seven circuits of Ho Hakafot, that came, a story of Hakafot that comes from there. But what's interesting there is it says, "Vayikra Yehoshua ben Nun el haKohanim v'yom alehem su'ut aron habrit." Kohanim take the aron. V'shiva Kohanim yisu shiva shofot yovlim, and you have seven priests in front of them carrying the ark. V'yihi kaemo Yehoshua ta'am. Go and pass the surround the city. And the chalutz, the chalutzim, the right, which we translate as the armed body here, but the first ranks of the army, they will travel in front of the ark. So the only difference is that by the Yarden, they were behind the ark, and in Yericho, they're in front of the ark. But who are the chalutzim? Who are this group of the chalutz, Ya'avor Lifnei Aron Hashem? They're the tribe of Reuven, and they're constantly referred to as the chalutz throughout Sefer Yoshua. V'achalutz olech lifnei ha'konim tok'e shofarot, and the rest of the rear guard went behind, but the chalutz, the armed ones, meaning Reuven and his banner, they went first. So, in summary of it, if you take a look at this chart, what I wanted to point out is that there's a really interesting shift going on. In the Midbar for 40 years, Yehuda, they traveled as they had as they camped. Yehuda, the banner of Yehuda first, banner of Reuben second, the Aron in the middle, Ephraim and Dan at the back. When they cross the Yarden, two things change. Number one, the Aron goes first at a distance of 2,000 Amah. Number one. Number two, Reuven is moved, it's called the Chalutz, and moved to the front line of the camp, in front of Yehuda. And when they crossed, when they get to Yericho, and there's a battle around Yericho, and they have to surround the city and do the circuits, Reuven goes first. Then the Tokei Shavuot, then the Aron. And then Yehuda, Ephraim, and Dan. So we'll deal with the Yericho a little bit more in detail at a later stage, but there seems to be something going on because it's significant enough for the text to highlight where the Aron was and where Reuven was in this story. Now, it's interesting to note, and the Reuven piece of it, I'll share with you one observation, and then we'll come back to it. Even this formation is somewhat of an anomaly. Why do I say that? If you look in Perek Aleph of Bamidbar, let me just pull that up. I hadn't prepared that one. If you look in Perek Aleph of Bamidbar, where the camp is, where the census is taking place, the census starts with. His census starts with the tribe of Reuven. And the sequence of the tribes as they're listed in Bamidbar chapter 1 is the same sequence of the Dgalim, it's the same sequence of the banners. But it starts with Reuven, then Shimon, and then Gad. Then it goes to Yehuda and Yisachar and Zebulun, etc., etc. So Reuven is first. When you read chapter 2, and these groups of tribes are put together into banners, Ishal Diglo, then the first listing of the first banner is Yehuda. And Reuven is now second. And there's a discussion as to why that is the case, but for the rest of the 40 years, they will travel in accordance with the sequence of chapter 2, Yehuda first. And only as they enter the land of Israel, suddenly Reuven goes back to being first.
Wasn't he committed to go first? And they said there'd be chalutzim when they went, right. When they got
so that's exactly
property
the point.
On the other side of the Jordan.
Correct. So that's exactly the point that I wanted to make, that this is part, this anomaly, this change of the role of Reuven is part of the commitment that Reuven made, Reuven and God and Shimon, Reuven and God and Menashe, made to Moshe, that they would, in fact, take on that new role as chalutzim before Bnei Israel. So that commitment wasn't just that they would cross the Yarden with Israel and they would fight with the battles of Israel until the people of Israel settled their land and then they would go back. That's how it's perceived in Bamidbar and Chumash, that they agreed to cross over and fight the wars with Israel. But in fact, the way it turns out is that not only did they fight the wars with the rest of Israel, but they did so as the chalutzim, they did so as the front line, which is always the most dangerous group of chayalim to put, right? Your front lines are almost always the most vulnerable, especially when you fight in rank and file. So the agreement, the willingness of Reuven, not just to cross over, but in fact their entire banner gets moved to the front line, to the front of the line, and Yehuda behind him, tells me something about the significance of that commitment. It wasn't just an agreement to fight and to cross over the Yarden with Israel, but in fact to become the chalutzim, the front lines, and that's how they remain until the end of Sefer Yehoshua. So that's just a fascinating observation about Reuven and God. The other difference is that they're formation, and this we will unpack in much greater detail later in the book, but I want to put it out there now. The Galim, the banners, more or less parallel the structure of how the camp was laid out in their settlement of the land of Israel. Which tribes went where, more or less parallels how they marched through the Midbar. There's some changes we'll talk about. But what's interesting there is that when they originally were planning to come to the land of Israel, the original route had them entering Israel from the south before the chet of before the Meraglim. Right? They were entering from Kadesh. They were entering from the south. If they were entering from the south, they were entering the tribal territory of Yehuda and the Negev and Hebron. And therefore it made sense for Yehuda to be first in line. Whereas now they're entering from the east, and they're entering from the tribal territory of Reuven, and so that sequence, that structure changes, and now it's Reuven who's leading the march of the tribes. So that's one observation. The much more significant observation, however, is the role of the Aron. The Aron takes on an extraordinary piece here, because two things change. Number one, the Aron never traveled in the midst of the, in the front of the camp. The Aron always traveled in the middle of the camp. And number two, the Kohanim didn't carry the Aron when the Aron marched. Who carried the Aron when it marched, when they marched with it through the desert? The Levim. Correct. Yeah. Right? They had to carry, and they had to carry it covered so nobody could, right, in a special way. So this already the Gemara points out. It's a Gemara in Sota. And I put here, there's two Gemaras in Sota. We're going to look at the first. Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad Davu Yisrael Atayarden, how did the Israel cross the Yarden? B'chol yom Aron Noseach HaShnei Degalim. V'yom Nesa Tchila. Every other day, meaning for 40 years, they've been traveling through the desert. The ark traveled between the banners of Yehuda Reuben in front and Ephraim and Dan in the back. As it's, but here, in this instance, the Aaron went first. Shenema hine Aaron abrit adon kol haaretz oveh lifnechem. That's one anomaly. The other anomaly, and I think they're connected, b'chol yom v'yom leviyim nosim et Aaron. Every other day, the Levites, the Leviyim, would carry the ark. V'yayom nisa'u kohanim. But today the kohanim carried it. As it says, v'yakinuach kapot raglei kohanim nose Aaron Hashem. And in fact, the Gemara goes on to suggest that there are three places, three roles in which the Kohanim carried the Ark publicly. Number one, Kishavuot Hayarden, when they crossed the Jordan. When they will surround Yericho, I showed you those verses as well. And Kishichziru Limkomo, when they took the Ark from the Levium to put it back in the Kodesh HaKodashim, when they reset up the Mishkan, that the Kohanim had to do, because they had to go into the Kodesh HaKodashim to put it in its place. The Levium could not do that. So those three instances, the Ark was carried by the Kohanim, and in this case, it went before the people. So what's the significance of both of these anomalies? One, that it's carried by the Kohanim, and B, that it went significantly in front of the people, Ke'apayim Amma. And it's hard to say for sure, but I wonder if we can pick up on another nuance. I'm going to come back, hold that question, I'm just going to park it for a second. But there's another series of nuanced parallels that I want to try to identify. For example, Perek Gimel Pasuk Dalet.
Exactly.
You have to keep your distance from the ark, 2,000 cubits. Al tikrevu elav. Don't approach it. It will guide you in your way. In pasuk hey, vayomer Yeshua la'am, hit gadashu, sanctify yourselves. Because tomorrow you're going to see wonders. Keeping your distance from the ark, prepare yourself. We had 3 days earlier. The Aron in front of the people instead of in the midst of the people carried by the Kohanim. Does anybody sense a pattern of what these hints are reflecting or connecting us to? As I think that certainly the 3 days and the distance from the ark, which represents the Shekhinah, and the preparation they have to go through, Itkadashu, all are signs, all are references that take us back to where?
Ma'amad Ar-Sinai.
Ma'amad Ar-Sinai. It takes us back into the world of that moment of the revelation of God at Sinai, where they had 3 days of preparation, where they were not allowed to approach the mountain, where they had to keep the distance from the mountain. Pull the psukim here for a moment. Starting in Pasuk Tet, V'yomer Hashem Moshe, Hinei Anochi Ba'a Elecha Ba'av He'anan, I'm going to come to you in the thickness of the cloud. We'll talk about the cloud in a moment. Bavu Yishma Ha'am B'dabi Yimach V'gam B'chai Aminu Le'olam, and they should hear my speech to you, and they will trust in you for always. Moshe tells the people, "Vayomer Hashem Moshe, lecha la'am, v'kidashtam hayom umachar v'chipsu simlatam. Let them sanctify themselves today, tomorrow, v'ayu nechonim layom hashlishi, so that they can be prepared for the third day." Because on the third day, Yered Hashem, Leinei Kol Ha'am, the people, the God will come down and be seen in front of all the people. V'higbaltatam saviv lemor. But the people have to set a boundary, a border. Yishamu lachem alot baha. They can't go up the mountain. They can't touch the mountain. They have to keep the distance. So you have to keep your distance. It's a three-day preparation. They're going to see a manifestation of the Shekhinah. That's exactly what's going on here. You have exactly the same process. Prepare them for 3 days, tell them to sanctify themselves, get themselves ready. They're going to see something of a manifestation. And what does that manifestation reflect? The Aron, the Ark, comes, not only the splitting of the sea, but the Ark goes in front of the people, carried by the Kohanim. The Ark goes in front of the people, carried by the Kohanim. Right. Here's something the text doesn't tell me. I have no way of knowing it, but it's a guess. But I think it makes sense. When the Levim carried the ark in the midst of the camp, was the ark covered or uncovered?
Covered. Didn't they say? Yeah, they had to halakha orotachash and whatever. They had to cover it.
Always covered. When the Kohanim took the Aron into the waters of the Yarden, 2,000 cubits in front of the camp of Israel, and the cloud that went on, that covered the hovered over the ark, now went and hovered over the ark in 2,000 amot in front of them, so that the cloud of the Shekhinah could split the waters as they entered, was the ark covered or uncovered? Doesn't tell us. But I would bet that it was uncovered, because the whole notion here is that it was a manifestation of God's presence. They were feeling and seeing the Shekhinah. They were, in fact, almost like a parallel to the story of Mount Sinai. They were experiencing the presence of God as He brought them into the land of Israel. The fact that the Kohanim are carrying the Aron means that the Kohanim carried the Aron uncovered. And they walked in front of the people so that not only Israel, but all of the nations of the world would watch and see and perceive the story of the crossing of the Jordan, could see the ark. And when they took the ark into battle, in Sefer Shmuel, beginning of Shmuel, there's a story where they take the ark into battle against the Plishtim. There, they want the ark, they want the power of the ark to work for them in battle. It's clear that they took the ark uncovered into battle.
They get punished then. You know, that's what I don't understand, you know, because I was going to bring that up, because they get punished for bringing it. And then, you know,
it wasn't done by God's command, for sure. But you clearly, you see that they carried it uncovered, because the Plishtim look at the ark and proclaim, "These are the gods of Israel," which means it's seeing the Kruvim. So that was clearly uncovered. So if that was uncovered, this for sure was uncovered. The
Rabbi, what was never stated, covered or not covered, in Shmuel, was never stated.
I'm just saying, so I'm telling you that what it does say is that the Plishtim looked at the ark and they said, Elo Elohei Yisrael asher lachamu atam b'Mitzrayim. These are the gods of Israel who fought with them in Egypt. The plural there is understood by all the Mefarshim as a reference to the Kruvim, which means that they saw the Kruvim. That means that the Ark had to be uncovered. We can argue about it, but that's not the point. I use it as an example, but it's clear that the Plishtim saw the Kruvim at that moment, and they said they pointed to the Kruvim and they said, "These are the gods of Israel," in their idolatrous pagan mindset.
But wasn't that they say like a model that, you know, like God is going to go and fight for them, go in front, yeah, and that's why they brought it? So you why would they get punished?
I'm not getting to Shmuel. Shmuel will take us complicated. It'll take us into a whole different arena. I'm happy to discuss Shmuel offline. I use it as an example because I think it's a powerful moment of the Aron representing the Shekhinah, representing God's presence here, and that's exactly what's going on. Right? It's not just that the Kohanim are going to step on the water, and because they've got the Ark with them, the sort of this magic power of the Ark, and it's going to split the waters. Right? There's a much bigger issue here, which is there's a manifestation that people are going to see. Mechar yaseh Hashem bekir bechem nifloot. God is going to do wonders for you. You're going to see the Shekhinah. So for that, the Ark had to function not as a part of the Mishkan Leviim carrying the Ark covered like the rest of the Mishkan, but as a kli, as a vessel, as a utensil, as the Shekhinah, as the Merkava, as the throne of God. Remember that the Ark with the covenant, with the tablets, with the Kruvim, in its entirety, represented the Merkava, represented the throne of God. So it's the manifestation, the image here is that Ki'ilu, Kavayachol, their king walks before them. The Kohanim carrying the Ark means that the king is leading them into the waters and across the Yarden. King of kings. But for that, the Ark has to be open, and there has to be this manifestation of the Shekhinah. And I'll show you one additional observation. The parallel to Maamar HaSinai is striking, and in fact, it's expressed directly at the end, right? The parallel to Kriyas Yam Suf, but the parallel to Maamar HaSinai here is extraordinary. And we come to Pasuk Zion. And one additional parallel, which I think is the key to this whole story. Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua, Hayom Hazeh Achel Gadelcha Be'enei Kol Yisrael. On this day, I will magnify you in the eyes of Israel. I will make you. This isn't just to cross over the Yarden for the sake of the people of Israel practically, and the Canaanites theologically, they should see God's power. Right? This was also for Yehoshua. The people need to see you and know that I will be with you. As I was with Moshe, I will be with you. And for that, we need to repeat what Moshe was able to accomplish. Moshe was able to accomplish Maamar HaSinai and Kriyat Yam Suf. You need to start your journey with an equivalent moment of Kriyat Yam Suf, but also Maamar HaSinai. It's not enough. And we'll see the connections between Yericho there as well. And that's exactly what happened at Maamar HaSinai. God said Here it is. When Moshe is told that God is going to speak to him in the presence of all of Israel, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hinei Anochi Bar Elecha Ba'av Ha'anan, Ba'avur Yishma Ha'am B'Dabri Imach, V'Gam B'Cha Ya'aminu Li'Olam. One of the primary purposes of Maamar HaSinai wasn't just to convey the Torah, to convey manifestations, that they should have the power of prophecy, they should understand it, but that it should empower Moshe so that people would understand and trust Moshe for all eternity. That was the key message, that he should become the chief of all Nevi'im. And that exact same message appears here. We need Yehoshua to enter into that role so that the people will see Yehoshua as no less powerful, if not maybe even almost as powerful as Moshe himself. And that, I think, is one of the key messages to this story. While I'm here, let me pull one additional observation, really from the next unit, but it's relevant to you, right? To see the splitting of the Yarden and the role of Yehoshua in that moment as the disciple of Moshe, and to earn the trust of Moshe, of the people, as they trusted Moshe, they will now trust Yehoshua. To see the role of Kriyat Chatzayat Yarden, right, the crossing of the Yarden, in the same role as Mamre Sinai, and the handing over of the role of leadership from Moshe to Yoshua in that process has one additional parallel. It's not referred to in the text here because it hasn't happened yet. But we have the benefit of hindsight, and so I want to take you into a story in Malachim Bet. The only other time in history in Tanakh where the waters of the Jordan River were split. And that is, anybody know? Elisha. Eliyahu and Elisha. The story is Malachim Bet Perek Bet. Vahi ba'alot Hashem et Eliyahu basara shamayim. As God was about to bring Eliyahu up to heaven in a whirlwind, you all know, right? Eliyahu goes up to Shemayim. Unclear what that means. Eliyahu and Elisha now start a journey. And part of that journey is to hand the mantle of leadership over from Eliyahu to Elisha. V'yom Eliyahu Elisha shev na po ki Hashem shlachani ad Bet-El, v'yom Elisha chai Hashem v'chei nafshachai me'azveka, v'yadu ad Bet-El, they go together. There's a journey from Gilgal to Bet-El. Why these places? Well, we're not going to get into too much now. It's complicated for us, but he comes to Bethel and they have the same dialogue. Stay here, and he says, "I'm going down to Yericho." Vayomer lo Eliyahu, Elisha shev na po ki Hashem shlachani Yericho. Stay here, God has sent me over to Yericho. Vayomer chay Hashem v'chein avshachay mezveka v'yavo Yericho. I'm not leaving you. They go to Yericho. The Bnei Nevi'im, the students of the schools of prophets, came over to Elisha and Yericho, and they said to him, "Ayadata ki ayom Hashem lokechet adonecha me'avoshecha? Do you know that God is going to take your master away from you today?" He says, "I know." "Shh, be still." Again, Eliyahu says to him, "Stay here. God has sent me to the Yarden." Vayomer lo Eliyahu, "Shev na po ki Hashem shlachani hayardena." More or less, can you see the pattern? From Gilgal to Bethel is complicated. We'll leave Bethel out of the picture, but from Gilgal to Yericho to the Yarden. You see the reverse of the process of the journey of Israel. They go together. And there's this bunch of schools of Nevi'im, Machamishim Yishvim Nei Nevi'im, Achu, and they stood on at a distance, Shushnem Amdu Ala Yarden, Eliyahu and Elisha stood by the Yarden. Vayikach Eliyahu et Adarto, Vayiglom, he took his mantle, whatever his mantle was, his cloak, wrapped it together, Vayakeh Tamayim, and he smote the water. It's a combination of a bunch of stories of Chumash kind of images coming together. Smote the water, and the waters split here and there. And the two of them walked across the Yarden on dry ground. Anybody ever, right? It's an observation. We're talking about the Yarden, but it's split like the Yamsuf. It's split apart rather than the way the Yarden is. Now they're both on the other side of the Yarden. And Eliyahu says to Elisha, "Sh'al me'aselach, b'terem elakach me'imach. Ask of me and I will, before I am taken from you. What do you want?" Vayomer Elisha, "V'hina pishnayim b'ruchacha elai." Now, that's a very famous verse. We read this as a Haftarah. It's a very famous verse. It's translated as, "Let me have double the portion of spirit, of nevuah, of power that you had," which is understood by the Mefarshim as the height of chutzpah. I mean, pishnayim. I once heard from Rav Yoel ben Nun, fascinating shiur on the word pim, that appears only once in Chumash in Sefer Shmuel. Pim was a coin that was essentially equal to half a shekel. They found an archaeological coin with the word Pim on it, And his theory is pishnayim means not double, but half.
Like so, the coin.
Like the coin. So there's it's a theory out there. I like it because it actually makes sense. What he's asking for is at least I should have half of what you have, which makes more sense in the context. Vayomer k'sheta lishol, says Eliyahu, you've asked a very difficult thing. I can't promise, but im tiroti lekach meitach yilecha chen v'im ayin lo yeh. If you see what I am taking up to Shemayim, if you are able to see it, then you know that God has granted your wish. There's a chariot of fire, pillar of fire, horses of fire. We have Frida ben Shnehem separating them, and Eliyahu goes up to Shemayim. Bayal Eliyahu b'sarah Shemayim. Elishawa Evu Mitzaek, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael, Farashav, my father, chariot of Israel and its horsemen, Veloda Au Od, and he didn't see Eliyahu anymore. Echazek Bibgadav, Ekraem, Lishnaim Kraim, he tore his clothes in two pieces. Now watch what happens in Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yadalit. Vayarem et Aderet Eliyahu, he picks up the mantle of Eliyahu, Ashenafla Melav, which fell. Vayashav v'yamod al svat ha'yarden, and he goes back and he stands on the banks of the Jordan. Vayikach et aderet Eliyahu shenafla me'alav vayake et hamayim, he takes the aderet and he smites the water. And he says, Ayeh Hashem elokei Eliyahu, where is the God of Eliyahu? Afu vayake et hamayim. So when he smote the waters, vayachatzu eina v'eina v'yavo Elisha. What is divided here and there, and Elisha crossed back over. When the Bnei Nevi'im saw on the other side of the Yarden, they said, Elisha has walked into the footsteps of Eliyahu, and they were now able to see Elisha in the light of the as the disciple and the continuity of the Navi of Nevu of Eliyahu. The notion of using the crossing of the Yarden and the splitting of the Yarden and as a mechanism, as a means to transfer the leadership from Eliyahu to Elisha and the trust of the people to Elisha as they had with Eliyahu is precisely the story that we're reading here, right? That's exactly what was happening here at the Yarden. Moshe was known for major miracles. Kriyat Yamsuf, Mamar Sinai, Kriyat Yamsuf. Yehoshua steps into that role. So the first thing that has to happen is people have to see Yehoshua in exactly the same context. That's what Hashem says to Yehoshua. That today, Achel Gadelcha Be'inei Ko Yisrael. This story of splitting the sea, of splitting the Yarden, will enable you to have that role amongst the people. The people will see. A very interesting phrase that appears in Pasuk Yud Vayomer Yehoshua, Bezot Tedun Ki Kel Chai Bekirbecha. This story of the splitting of the Yarden, you will see that God is a living God amongst you, meaning that it's a dynamic relationship. Moshe, God, Israel, Yeshua, God, Israel. It's a dynamic triangle. But that Yeshua steps into exactly that role, and the notion that Eliyahu and Elisha used that same story for the same purpose, I think it emphasizes or strengthens this parallel, both to Mamre Sinai and to the notion of the transfer of the leadership from Yeshua to, from Moshe to Yeshua. Okay,
I have a question.
That's part one. Yeah, question.
I have a question. I see that there is a major difference, though, between how Yeshua crosses the Jordan and Moshe and Eliyahu, because Moshe uses the staff. Eliyahu uses the aderet, which also has a meaning, and then Elisha uses the aderet. Here, it says not even that Yeshua, it's the feet of the Kohanim. When the feet of the Kohanim go into the Jordan, that's when the Jordan, when the water stops. So it's not an active movement of Yeshua. He's not an action of Yeshua. There is a problem there.
So my answer to you is that it has nothing to do with the Kohanim.
But that's what it says in the text.
No. That's not what it says. What it says is that it's the Aron. The Kohanim are carrying the Aron. Aron HaBrit. So the Raglei HaKohanim is just a symbol, but they're really, they're talking about the Aron. That's why the Aron went in front. That's why the Aron is so central to the story. But Yeshua is certainly the leader. Yeshua is instructing. Yeshua is guiding. Yeshua is telling them. The fact that Yeshua doesn't have a staff, no big deal. I was never comfortable with Moshe's staff in the first place, right? Yeshua doesn't have a staff. He has instructions. He's in many ways Yeshua's, the trust that Yeshua earns from the people is greater than that of Moshe. But at this point, for now, it's sufficient to know that it's the Aron. He'll use the Aron again in Yericho and the shofar. But it's more the experience. The people see the splitting of the Jordan and they know the story of the splitting of the Yamsuf, right? The notion that that becomes a symbol for Yeshua's, for the trust of Yeshua, I think is very powerful. And that the Aron plays that role here is even more powerful because the Aron is the Merkava. Just like Eliyahu goes up to Shemayim in the Merkava of the chariots and horses, the Aron is the Merkava. And it's the throne of God. Okay. That's part one that I want of the story that I wanted to address, which is the role of the Ark in the parallel to Mamon HaSinai, and in so, as a byproduct, the centrality of Yeshua's, the trust in Yeshua in this moment. The other part of this story that I want to begin to look at, we're going to just introduce and elaborate on in our next class, which, to remind everybody, is not next week because I will be in Israel next week, so there's no class. We, B'ezrat Hashem, will reconvene in, I hope, 2 weeks' time. But the other piece that's very important for us is to understand why, not for Yeshua's purpose, but why it was necessary to cross the Yarden in such a fashion as this, to split the Yarden or to stop it for a pillar. Right? Why was this miracle even necessary? I don't know about you, but anybody ever been to the Jordan River? It's a tiny little creek. They're in Nisan, they're in springtime, so maybe it's a little bit more, but the notion that it's overflowing its banks, the Yarden is to take an entire people of 600,000 and plus men and women, right, the whole army of Israel, and cross the Yarden needing this kind of supernatural breach of nature miracle, I have to ask yourself why. And the truth is that I didn't ask the question why. The Navi asked the question why. And how do I know the Navi asked the question why? Because anytime you have a question of why, what's the response going to be? Because. Right? If a child asks why, what's the typical answer? Because. So in this case, there's a because, but there are not one because, there's at least five. Meaning, if you go through the text, you will find that the word lima'an, this is because, this is for the purpose of, this is so that you shall know, this is so that you shall learn. That notion, that emphasis appears scattered throughout the two chapters. And what it does is it tells me, there's not one reason for this splitting of the Yarden in this fashion. There are many. So our job is to identify what they are. So we've already identified the first. Right? Vayomer Hashem el Yehoshua, hayom hazeh achel gadelcha be'enei kol Yisrael, asher yedaon, ki kasher hayiti im Moshe eyeh imach. The first identified reason for splitting the sea in this, the Yarden in this fashion, is for the sake of Yeshua. So the people will see Yeshua, know Yeshua's role as the disciple of Moshe, will never be questioned, never be challenged. Despite the ups and downs of the wars and the conquest of Israel, they never challenge Yeshua, which is really fascinating. They challenge Moshe left, right, and center. They never challenge Yeshua. There's never a question as to his leadership and to his, the trust in him. And that's, we will explore that as well by in itself, but that is solid. But then we read a little bit further, and we read Pasuk Tet and Yud. Vayomer Yoshua, Yeshua says to the people, Bizot tedun ki elchai bekirbechem, this, by this you shall know that there is a living God amongst you. Vyoresh yorish, the people should know that God is with them as they begin to enter the land of Israel and the land of Canaan, as the Canaan, the war with the Canaanites begin, know that God is with you. So that's a different reason. It's not just for Yeshua's sake, but that the God, they should know that God is with the people. So now I've created a little bit of a new nuance. And even that's not enough. Then he talks about the Aaron and the Kohanim, and we're going to jump to Perek Daled for a moment. And we have a whole story of the stones, which we'll talk about, and the 12 stones from the bed of the Aiden. We're going to talk about that as a separate shear. And then we get to the end of Perek Daled, and we read the following. Tell me what you think this reminds you of. Asher yishalun b'neichem machar et avotam lemor. So if your children tomorrow will ask you, Maha avanim eila, what are these stones? But the Torah is filled with these moments where it says, if your child will ask you, and they're all about Pesach, they're all about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, they're all about the mother, Kishalun Machar, Bnechem Machar, Yamor, Ma, Vada, Zot, Lachem, etc. Right? The question, when your children will ask, what are these stones? Voda temet Bnechem Lemor, Vyabasha, Vayisol, Tiardenazet. So now suddenly there's a whole new purpose for crossing the Yarden and taking the stones out of the Jordan River bed in order to build this monument with the stones, is that the people will know that the waters of the Yarden were split. Okay? That's the children for generations to come. Well, we're not finished. So God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you as you passed over it. Like he did to the Yam Suf. In order for all of the Canaanite nations to know that the hand of God is strong. Yad Chazaka. Look at how many references to the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Yad Hashem, Yad Chazaka. Reference to the strong hand that upstretched on, the reference to Yamsuf. Right? That this had to recreate that moment of Kriyat Yamsuf so that the nations of Canaan will know and sit there a little bit, right? They'll be tremble a little bit because they'll know that God split the waters and the strong hand, the Yad Chazaka of God that took him out of Egypt is coming to lead them into the land of Canaan. Right? That's in and of itself significant. And then, one more. The man yira atem et Hashem alokechem kol hayamim. Not just for the Canaanites, but that you should fear God all your days, so that you should have a sense of Yirat Hashem, which is more or less along the lines of what we, the goal of Ma'amar Sinai was about. So I have at least five different rationales. I'm going to stop sharing for a second. I have at least in this text identified five different explanations as to why it was necessary in the text to cross to split the waters of the Yamsuf, and there's more. There's Laman Dat Kolamei Haaretz, that the nations of Canaan shall know. There's Laman Yiratem Et Hashem, so that you shall fear God. There's the trust in the leadership of Yoshua. There is the question of why they needed to physically, how they needed to physically cross the Yarden. There seems to be a reference in the text to the Yarden Maleo Kogdotav, that there is an overflowing of the banks of the Yarden. Was the Yarden bigger in those days than it is today? Right? So we'll talk about that. Right? Clearly it is, it must be, and overflowing its banks. And we'll talk and we'll show evidence to the question as to where how do we know that the Jordan at that time was much bigger? And then on top of all of this, I have these stones, these 12 stones that have to be pulled out of the Yarden riverbed in order to be placed somewhere, and where that is, and all of that's part of the reason why it was necessary to go through this story. So there are at least 5, maybe 6 different reasons that we have to break down, and that will be our task in our next unit. So that's Leman Yiratem Et Hashem. That's what
No, no. Yirah and Bitachon, that's not the same. Sorry.
In modern philosophy and theology, maybe not. In Tanakh terms, I don't think there's a distinction.
And what about, I think that was really had to be done to show them how easy that will be, the transition.
Maybe that might be what is referred to when the text says that. I'll show you that text for a second. Maybe that's what's being referred to in the end of Perek Gimel when it says, "V'zot tedun ki kel chai bekibachem." With this, okay, you will know that there's a living God amongst you. V'horesh yorish mipnechem et haKnani, and He will
take
out the Knanites. And God is going with you into the land of Canaan with the Aaron and the splitting of the sea. It's a kind of a recreation of the moment of Yetziat Mitzrayim.
Okay. Thank
Part
you.
Of the same, I think.
Thank
okay,
you.
So we will adjourn for now, and we will pick this up again. There's no class next week.
Ah.
I'm away. But we will pick this up as Rav Hashem in, for now, let's say 2 weeks' time. If that changes, we'll let you know.
Thank you very much.
Can I get back to my question from before?
Yes, sure.
I don't think your answer, I don't know, wasn't it like...
What was
the
question?
I think that my question was the difference between the means of separating, or splitting the sea and splitting... it's not only, there are too many differences. Splitting the Jordan for Eliyahu, and not only that, the mantle, the significance of clothing in Torah, and the Aderet, and the fact that he took the Aderet, and I would go to Shmuel's Me'il or whatever, minute, and there, and here you don't have splitting, you have column, and not two. So I think there are too many differences to say that it's exactly the same. So there has to be a difference, and we have to look at the difference and why.
Okay, so my answer to your question is yes, yes, and yes. There are always differences anytime you draw a parallel. Any parallel in Tanakh will always have different. No two stories are identical. The question is whether those differences are related to the central theme or message that you're trying to convey. In other words, a parallel has two purposes. Number one, to draw a connection, and number two, to draw distinctions. So the parallel that I wanted to draw, I think, is common to all three, which is you have a master and a disciple, and you have a transfer of leadership at that moment. And the single greatest miracle that occurred at Yetziat Mitzrayim that the people saw, over which it says, V'yaminu b'Hashem uvim Moshe avdo,
right,
is Kriyat Yam Suf. So Kriyat Yam Suf becomes the paradigm, the av tipus, for a miracle which is of that magnitude and shows that a disciple has the power of the master. So that's what I wanted to say about Yehoshua, and it's in the text. Right? That's a possibility. Right. And I think it's true for Eliyahu and Elisha as well. Now, are there differences? For sure. There are differences. First of all, Moshe uses a staff. Yehoshua uses the Aron, and Eliyahu uses the Aderet, which means that none of them are using the same tool.
Right.
Or using a different tool, because they're all using a tool that's relevant to their moment, their leadership. Moshe's staff was with staff with which he smote the Mitzrayim and did all the Makot Mitzrayim. And so that staff has meaning for them, for Bnei Israel, at that moment. For Yeshua, it's about the Aron and the Mishkan. The Aron and the Mishkan will play a central role in Sefer Yeshua and in Sefer Shoftim. And the Aron is the manifestation of the Shechina post Mamad HaSinai. The Shechina moves to the Aron. The staff disappears after Mamad HaSinai. You can't use that staff anymore. Moshe uses it once and he gets into big trouble for it.
Right.
Okay. So that the Shechina moves to the Aron. In Elisha's case, Elisha is neither a melech, right? He's a Navi, and the Aderet was for him that symbol of who he was and what it represented. And so so I think that using an Aderet there, he doesn't have a staff, he doesn't have the Aron. I think it makes sense for him to use a cloak, which symbolizes his status as a Navi.
That to me connects with Shmuel and the Me'il, like that. You know, okay, yeah. but that was a very good answer. Yeah. I'm convinced.
The second piece of it is why Yeshua splits the Arden differently than Moshe and Eliyahu.
Right.
That I'm going to try to address in a different in a later shir. Yeshua, more or less, Chazal see the splitting of the Arden by Yeshua as half of Moshe's power, meaning Moshe is the chief of all Levim. So Yeshua needs to step into a role where the people see him as Moshe's disciple, but not Moshe's equal.
But not Moshe, yeah.
Right. And so I think that splitting it halfway is achieves that goal. Elisha's that message is not necessary, and you have
it's removed. Yeah.
But the other piece of it is that the splitting into one pillar, one ned, right, is in itself significant because of where that pillar is. But for that, you have to wait till the next year.
That's all nice.
Its location is very powerful, right?
Did it say the location? Hold on. It didn't say.
It does.
It says, "Amayim ayordim milemala v'yamdu ned echad."
It says that the water was the ned was by Adam ha'ir, and the people crossed at Yericho. There's a bridge called Gesher Adam. It's the same place.
That's where it is. Okay. Yeah.
So why that's significant, that we'll have to explore. That's going to be part of our discussion next.
They're connecting to Yericho. Okay.
Right. So we'll get there.
Okay, Nesia Tova. Thank you very much for explaining. That was very nice.
No problem at all.
Okay.
All right. Bye. Have a wonderful afternoon or evening or day. And see you all, Bezrat Hashem, in a couple of weeks.
Rabbi?
Yes, sir.
Was it unreasonable for the police team to view the Kruvim and the uncovered ark as Israel's God? I don't think that was
it was not unreasonable. It was within the realm of their frame of reference for pagan idolaters. It was unreasonable for Israel to take the ark into battle uncovered.
That's true, but we know that through most of our history, Jews viewed God as a corporeal being. I mean, that was one of Maimonides' issues.
I can debate that, but in the context of Tanakh, it's clear that that would be idolatrous. The Kruvim had a different role. The Kruvim were the Merkava. The Kruvim were the angels.
But the Plishtim didn't go to yeshiva day school.
Exactly. So that was one of the reasons, one of the mistakes they made was they placed, and I suspect, if you ask me, that remember we're talking about the last battle before the Mishkan is destroyed. And I suspect that the people who took the Mishkan, who took the Aron into battle, felt and thought the same way the Plishtim did.
Fair enough.
Which is why they lost, and why they lost the Aron, and why the temple, the Mishkan was destroyed. It's all symptoms of the same problem, which goes back to the beginning of Sefer Shmuel.
But you can also make the argument that every time they deviate from what God says to do, they lose a battle, like I in that. So it's nothing to do with the theology of it. It's just not following orders
properly. In that case, it's part of a sequence of events from the beginning of the book that are very theological, but we'd have to unpack Sefer Shmuel. So let's get through Yeshua and Shoftim, and then we'll start Shmuel.
Thank you.
No problem. My pleasure. Anybody else? All right. Have a wonderful day, and I will sign off here.